Tracking, mixing, editing, audio restoration, transfers, wire recording,
tape transfers,
instantaneous records, enhancement,
on hold messaging,
commercial and long form voiceovers,
podcasting,
audiobooks, location recording. We're Avocado Productions. Hello and welcome to Avocado Productions webcast number 6. On our past programs, we've talked about wire recordings, their history and background, and their inherent problems. And on this program, we will focus on tape. Tape is produced in many forms and formats. Cassette, 8-track cartridge, mini and micro cassettes, the open reel format, and some other proprietary formats. Most of us are familiar with the compact cassette tape. Cassettes generally run at one speed, 1 7/8 inches per second, and they utilize two sides. Recordings are made to a left and right channel going one way, and after flipping the tape over, another left and right channel recorded in the opposite direction. A fixed amount of tape is preloaded into the cassette shell. A cassette marked C60 means a total of 60 minutes can be recorded to that cassette, 30 minutes on one side and another 30 on the other. Other popular lengths were 90 minutes and 120 minutes. There's a direct correlation between the thickness and the length of tape. The more tape in the shell, the thinner it is. That's the only way to get more tape into the same size shell. Thin tape will have a tendency to stretch. That's just one of the many things about tape that you need to be aware of. Micro and mini cassettes are like standard cassettes, but of course they're smaller. The track configuration is the same, a recording running in one direction, and then you flip the tape over and record in another direction. The mini and micro cassette recorders usually offer two recording speeds. The standard speed of 2.4 centimeters per second, and then a slower speed of 1.2 centimeters per second. Now the 8-track also had a preloaded amount of tape in the shell, but the similarity to cassette ends there. The tape in 8-track cartridges is wound as an endless loop with a piece of sensing foil connecting the ends together, forming that loop. The tape width is 1/4 inch, and it runs at 3 3/4 inches per second. It is the track configuration that gives the 8-track its name. There are 4 stereo tracks, left and right, recorded to the tape. The first set of left and right tracks are played to the sensing foil. The foil lets the player know it's time to change to the next set of left and right tracks. The foil comes around again and the player jumps to the third set, then the fourth. 4 sets of 2 tracks is 8. There were also quadraphonic 8-tracks, which used 2 sets of 4 tracks, but I'm not aware of any quad 8 recorders. Similar endless loop cartridges were also used in broadcast. There were a number of proprietary tape devices that used endless loop. The track configuration, tape width, and speed varied, and most of the machines used to play them back are hard to come by. In most cases, though, transfer is still possible. Now, the most widely used and oldest format is the open reel, or the reel-to-reel. Machines that play and record to open reel vary widely. For our discussion on this program, I'm going to focus on configurations most related to consumer recorders. And the most popular of those was the 4-track stereo format. Tape used on these machines is 1/4 inch wide, generally comes on 7-inch or smaller reels, and the tracks were configured just like the cassette. 2 tracks were recorded in one direction, and flipping the tape over allowed you to record 2 more tracks in the opposite direction. 4 tracks total on the tape. Earlier consumer reel configurations were half-track or 2-track, where the left and right tracks of a stereo recording went in one direction only. Or you could get 2 mono sources, one recorded in one direction and flipping the tape over, recording another mono source on the other side. And there was also full track mono. The whole width of the tape was used to record one single track. Quarter-inch tape was sold in a number of different lengths, but in feet, not minutes, because machines were able to record at varying speeds. So the actual playing time of the tape depended on the speed with which it was recorded. For instance, a 1,200-foot reel of tape would give you 1 hour of recording time at 3 3/4 inches per second, and only 30 minutes at the faster 7.5 inches per second. Faster speeds yield higher fidelity. Economics drove most people to get more out of what they had. Consequently, we see an awful lot of reel tapes recorded at 1 7/8 inches per second. We also get a number of tapes recorded with different mono sources on each of the four tracks. One track recorded on that 1,200-foot reel at 1 7/8 inches per second has a running time of 2 hours. Now, if there is different source material on each of the four tracks at that speed, the total running time for the whole tape is 8 hours. A 2,400-foot tape at that speed would be 16 hours. Our rate to transfer tape decreases as the number of minutes on the tape increases. Still, a tape with 8 hours of material on it can become expensive. The composition of the backing material differs depending on when a tape was manufactured. Acetate, polyester, even paper was used. There are a number of concerns with dealing with tape, particularly tape on reel. You may have heard of something called sticky shed syndrome. It's a condition where the binder used to adhere the backing to the oxide layer starts to break down and becomes sticky, causing the oxide, and that's the important part, that's where your recording is. It comes off the backing as it's played, effectively destroying the tape and gumming up the machine. It is thought that moisture absorbed by the binding adhesive causes this, and the solution is to what we call bake the tape. This is somewhat of a misnomer. The tape is not actually baked in an oven, but it is exposed to low heat for several hours to draw the moisture from the adhesive. This is, in fact, a temporary solution. The condition will return, but it stabilizes the tape long enough to make the transfer. Only tapes with polyester backing manufactured starting in about the mid-70s are susceptible to sticky shed, and among those, not all show signs of the problem. Generally, only tapes with sticky shed syndrome are baked. Baking can potentially introduce another problem if baking is not necessary. Now, tapes have a lubricant added to help reduce friction as it travels through the machine's tape path. This lubricant can sometimes dry out over time, causing squealing during playback, and we call this condition loss of lubricant. Though there is no firm evidence, we feel baking a tape with loss of lubricant may cause the condition to get worse. And we never, ever bake an acetate-backed tape. Acetate will curl when exposed to heat. Sticky shed and loss of lubricant have also been found with cassette tapes. There are other problems that we encounter with tape, but sticky shed and loss of lubricant are the most common and can be the most damaging. Well, unless you have mold on your tape, and consider this an environmental hazard. Wear a face mask and handle it only in a well-ventilated area. So, when it comes to open reel tapes, how can you determine what you have and how long the recording is? Naturally, we much prefer that you send your tape to us to be evaluated so that we can determine its condition and if there are any problems. We do free evaluations. But there are some things you can figure out for yourself. Firstly, though, don't trust what the box says. Tapes can easily be put in the wrong box. Now, you may be able to determine the track configuration on the tape if you know the make and model, even the year of the machine that was used to record the tape. You can also easily determine the type of backing. Holding the reel up to a light, acetate will pass light through the edges. Polyester will be opaque. You may not readily be able to tell if your tape has sticky shed. So if you have a polyester tape, we advise you not to play it before sending it to us for transfer. The possibility of losing the recording is just too great. The only way to determine how much was recorded on the tape is to play it. Again, our evaluations are free of charge. You might just want to send it to us. So there is a lot to consider when it comes to tape, and we haven't even discussed multi-track tape formats. And if you have some obscure tape format you'd like to have transferred, just drop us a line. We probably have a way to transfer it for you. If you've enjoyed Avocado Productions' series of webcasts, we'd like to hear from you. Questions, comments, and suggestions are always welcome. You can email them to info@avocadoproductions.com. And don't forget, you can subscribe and vote for us on Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, Odeo, and Podcast Directory. I'm Angie Dickinson-Mickle. Thanks for listening.